Welcome to the Fire Podcast, a show dedicated to interviewing those who are fearless, inspiring, resilient, and engaging. Stories told on this show are incredible examples of overcoming adversity and facing life's challenges. Thank you for joining us. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Fire Podcast. I am your host, Quentin Williams, like always. And this week, I'm super excited to be bringing you an interview with a good buddy of mine, Jordan Pease. In this interview, we discuss the unique condition that he has had since birth, and we learn more about what that condition means and how it's affected him throughout his life. And then we get into some hobbies and other discussions that I think you guys will find extremely interesting. So please stay tuned to listen to what Jordan and I have to say, because I think there's some really important things to be gained from this conversation. If you want to become a listener of the week, you can do so by heading over to buymeacoffee.com/thefirepodcast, where you can choose to donate on a one-time or monthly basis, both of which are extremely appreciated. So thank you guys so much for your support. Also, I have just started an email list and would love for you guys to subscribe to stay up to date with the latest and greatest of what's happening here at the Fire Podcast. So be sure to check the description for more info. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do so by heading over to Twitter and Instagram, where we can be found at @_firepodcast, or on Facebook at facebook.com/thefirepodcast. Thank you so much for joining us this week. Let's get right to the interview with Jordan Pease. Jordan, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know, I haven't talked to you in a minute, but I'm excited because I remember from our days working together, you just had a great sense of humor about your disability, and I'm, you know, excited to share that with people, and hopefully through that we can inspire some folks. So if you wouldn't
we'll
mind,
see.
Yeah. But if you wouldn't mind, could you just kind of inform us about the disability and when it took place and kind of the ins and outs of it?
Yeah, definitely. I have a condition called arthrogryposis multiplex congenita, which, you know, you can have a cookie if you can say it three times fast.
I remember when we first met, I was like, bro, can you say that quickly, you know, like four or five times?
Yeah. Was I able to do it?
I think you actually fared pretty well on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. I've said it a lot. But so what that is a hardening in the connective tissue between the joints. And as it hardens, it kind of makes the joints curve and go into a hook-shaped position, which is actually what the word means in Latin, is a hardening of the joints in a hooked position is literally what it translates to. And of course, congenita, meaning congenital, meaning I was born with it. So basically, I just don't know any different, really. I don't remember a time not being on crutches, not needing help with general things such as getting dressed and toileting, and in some instances eating. Although I did get some adaptive eating utensils that allows me to eat non-finger foods by myself. So it's been a journey, and it's been different, but I've always just kind of liked to think that it's its own set of perks and downsides compared to what other people got going on.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like, if you weren't dealing with that crazy long Latin word that you just said,
what arthrogryposis multiplex congenita.
Yeah,
what? That's my smart word to impress ladies.
What else would you be dealing with, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, for sure. And who knows? You meet people, and it's like everyone's got a story, and everyone's story just is full of problems, you know. So, I got my own story, I guess. It's weird to think about it in terms of like, being really different, because I've always fit in, and I've never really thought about myself in terms of being different. But I've always had a lot of really awesome friends really cool people. And they kind of think of it the same way. It's like, there's Jordan with his own set of problems, you know?
Yeah. Where do you think that came from, where you just, you haven't let it get you down, or, you know, you've always felt like you fit in? Where do you think that came from?
And that's an awesome question. I mean, obviously that's probably multifaceted, but if I had to give it like a starter, you know, where it first started, I really think my parents were great at just kind of tough love, you know. If the other kids were doing an activity, they never were like, yeah, don't do that, you'll get hurt, you know. I mean, my mom occasionally, but my dad was really great to make sure that I was always participating, and my mom was always cautious, but she never stepped on my dad's toes that way. And it was like, it was what she wanted, and she just kind of swallowed her fear and really pushed me. And not just to like try new things, and stuff, but I don't know. It was always like, if you don't try to do it, I'm not going to do it for you, you know? And they would always have me try. If I failed, then they help me, you know? But, they would always have me try. But yeah, it wasn't just trying, new things. It was like keeping skill sets. I always like to draw, and I draw very differently, but my parents were amazing at just saying, yeah, like you should keep doing that, and really encouraging. They went to all my art shows. So I think that's a big part of it, is just the way I was raised. It's like, get hurt with the other kids and make sure that you have a skill set in the sport and hobbies. Don't be lazy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about your siblings? What was their response? You know, I know you were young kids and such, but how have your siblings been towards you?
Oh, dude, that's also an amazing question. So the younger siblings treated me like a mentor, and the older siblings were extremely protective. And I have five brothers and four sisters. To be honest, quite a few of my siblings are still strangers to me. They were adults when I was like 8 years old, you know. But the ones that I grew up with, we were just really tight. All of us were really tight, and they were very helpful and rowdy. And I mean, we just like to knock each other's teeth out, man. we loved to fight. It was all in good fun. Well, it was mostly in good fun.
Right.
But yeah, well, we're all competitive, and they just would not hold back on me. My older brother especially, he's one of those people. He's also an artist. And he's one of those people who's just, he's very smart. He's very intelligent. He's very driven. And so he just succeeded at everything. And I was always in his shadow, you know? And he was always in trouble. So, I mean, you know, when you're smart and really talented and very good looking, and Chase is a very good looking guy, it's like you find ways to get in trouble, and he was always in trouble. But man, I just looked up to him, and he was always very competitive, and with me especially. And I followed right in his footsteps. And I think the reason I drew is because he drew, and the reason I played video games and stuff like that is because that's what he was doing. And whenever he did something, I wanted to be just as good at it. And I never was, but, like he, like he really pushed me out of my comfort zone. I was in a Halo team in high school and I got really, really good at video games. And it's because Chase, like, he would just kick my ass. And he was great at it. And we still have that fun relationship where we like to see what the other can do. He's a good man. Got kids, a kid of his own now. It's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I have a couple questions. The first of which is, because of the disability that you have and your joints and just the way that your body is, what did roughhousing and fighting and, you know, some of those activities look like for you?
Headlocks. So I know your audience can't really see what I look like, but just to describe my hands, they're stuck in a hooked position and they're sort of on backwards. So I will flip my arms around your neck and I'll interlock the hooks together because they're going in opposite directions. And it's unbreakable. Like I've had my older siblings tap out. And like I said, they're competitive. They never liked to let me win and have made me tap out plenty of times. So mostly it was headlocks, holds, ground fighting. We loved ground fighting at our house. My dad would get involved and we would do a lot of like wrestling and ground fighting. But I mean, it would go, we would do like pain testing, bloody knuckles, you know, the things brothers would do.
Sure.
But yeah, it was, it did look a bit different, but I don't know. Like I'm too old and fat now, but I'd be able to like flip and roll around on the floor. And I had a great ground game.
Well, I love that your siblings didn't take it easy on you and treat you any different. Like you were just part of the crew. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a really good thing for me. And tough love is something I live by. I don't think I'd be anywhere as successful as I am today without that sort of I'm too afraid to hurt you kind of mentality not being present in my household, you know.
Well, and knowing your dad as much as I do, which is not near enough because he's a great guy.
He is a great guy. But they're in Texas now.
Really?
Yeah.
I can tell, you know, just by the way he raised you that, you know, he never felt sorry for you or never thought, you know, that you weren't going to be something, you know? He always just treated you as his son, which is pretty obvious, but like he just, I love the tact that he had and I think it's paid off well.
No, he's, he would just, you know, he'd push me to find a way to do it. And where I lacked the gap, he'd invent something. To make it to where I could do it. He invented my crutches because my hands are on very strangely. I can't hold a normal axillary crutch. So like, I mean, even as a really young kid, he made me walk on crutches and not ride in a wheelchair and saw I was having issues and made a crutch for me. He made my utensils because he refused to feed me. He was not going to do that. I mean, he was willing to bust his ass for me and work as hard as any parent would, probably harder. But he was doing it so I could do it after he died, was what he always said. He's like, I'm not going to be here forever. You better find a way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. My dad, we have a great relationship. You know, we'd sneak out of the house, grab Dr. Peppers and go shoot guns and, yeah, he's pretty much as you described.
Yeah, he's so, a great guy, man.
Wonderful guy. Love my dad.
That's awesome.
Love my mom. Love my family. I have a good family.
Yeah, no doubt.
For sure.
So tell me a little bit about the gaming thing. Like, how do you hold the remote? Have you ever tried any adapted remotes, or what's that like?
That's also a great question. I've never had the opportunity to get my hands on an adaptive controller. So like I've never owned one. I've only seen one once at the at USU at the
at the AT lab.
AT lab. They were designing something or ordered something and was just trying to see what they could make work for someone else, and I just saw it in passing. And that was really cool. But no, I grew up kind of poor. My parents never really had the money to get me anything crazy technological like that. Which is why my dad was always inventing shit. But I just got really, really good at holding a controller. You play games, right?
Somewhat, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. So I don't hold it on the two grips on the outside. I hold the one grip on the outside with my right hand, and then I grab in between the grips on the in the center of the controller with my left hand, and I just hold the controller sideways. I know it's kind of hard to picture, but that's how I've always done it. And PlayStation controllers haven't changed much throughout the generations of gaming, so I've never really had to adapt my technique too terribly much. That's always how I've done it. I've never really needed an adaptive controller. I would get good at holding down some buttons with my crutch handles, so I could have like a free hand to like turn the stick or something like that. So in many ways I was working with more hands than other people had to play games. I just got really, really good at it.
That's rad.
Yeah, it was fun.
So I was going to ask, is PlayStation or Xbox remotes better?
I started with an Xbox, like not the Xbox 360, but like way back when the first Xbox came out. And I just liked the games better on that. And their controllers aren't too different from PlayStation. They have the asymmetrical sticks. Other than that, it's pretty close. But I think I do like the PlayStation's symmetrical sticks and just having the stick closer to the base of the control.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think ultimately PlayStation is better, but I can make both work just fine.
That's rad. Well, we should get an adaptive remote in your hands and see if it's advantageous, or if with what you've done and been so innovative with, if that's good enough.
Yeah, it may confuse me. I'd like to try one though, because I've seen online that you can configure their shapes into some pretty crazy things.
Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. I don't know that many companies have created something like that.
No, not many. And I don't know, controllers are already, it's like $40 to get one. They're already expensive. So
for sure.
But that would be cool to play around with one. I've always wanted to.
So I'm going to segue a little bit and ask you, throughout your life, what has been the hardest thing to face or to deal with?
So probably going through late middle school, early high school ages, you know, like you're already dealing with puberty, your voice is squeaking. You're getting hair in unusual places.
Right.
I don't know. It's like you start getting interested in girls, and there's a type that girls that age are interested in. And it's not short, bow-legged, and walks on crutches. No. So I think probably the hardest thing with it was just going through that honestly really short period of time where I just wasn't sure if I was going to get married and I wasn't sure if girls were going to be interested in me. And I had no game. So I was believe it or not, there was a time I was kind of shy a little bit. And I'm kind of the wild, crazy guy you met in college was a response to me really not wanting to be shy anymore. And I just swung the pendulum really far the other way. I mean, as I'm becoming an old man, I feel like I've met somewhere in the middle, but
kind of balanced out.
Yeah. I'm a lot more mellow for sure. But yeah, I don't know if you remember how off the walls I was back in 2009.
Well, yeah, when you said you were shy, I mean, that really kind of shocked me.
Yeah, there was a time for sure. I was really shy.
I did not see that side of you for sure.
I just wanted to, I don't know, like I got in college and, I mean, I don't know, like in high school, I was already trying not to be shy, and I was like, not shy, but awkward, you know, like I was loud and awkward. I should say in high school, and in college, I learned a few tricks and I became loud and charming. And what I'm going for now is hopefully just charming.
Yeah,
we'll see. No, I like to talk a lot still. But yeah, that was probably the hardest thing, is I just wasn't sure if ladies would ever be interested in me like that, you know. I showed interest in a few girls in high school, and you know, get your poor little high school heart broken,
right?
You think it's the end of the world and stuff, but I don't know, you hit college, and I mean, it's not just girls, girls and guys, we're all just wiser, you know, and we were able to just see things that we weren't able to see before. It's like everyone in high school kind of wants a model.
Right.
And luckily for me, I got one, and my wife didn't. So there's that.
She might argue that, though.
She might. So she does. She thinks I'm handsome. So I won't tell her any different. I won't tell her the truth yet.
Yeah.
I need a few more good years of marriage.
So what was the dating game like? I mean, you know, you said in high school it was a little bit challenging.
Yeah.
But now you're married. So like what was the dating scene like?
Yeah. So that really evolved. So in high school, girls were really, really, you know, friendly. You know, they would always say yes. I pretty well never got turned down, and that's good. My suggestion for anyone in the dating scene is, you know, if someone's brave enough to give you an ask and they're not a total creep, you never know what you can find. One date is always at least worth seeing. But that's kind of always where it kind of ended, was like one date. And if I showed interest in a girl in high school, it was kind of I don't know, like it was hard for them to take in. It's a difficult thing. And I don't really blame them, you know. It's like, I know that if I were a middle school, high school age girl, my first thought as I'm going to bed dreaming about the perfect guy, you know, it wouldn't be someone who walks on crutches, you know, and someone who's short and someone who can't, you know, touch the top of his head. So yeah, I don't blame them at all. It was, it's just kind of the facts of life. And I, it would get discouraging, and, you know, you'd move on and shift interest into a different girl. And then, she'd turn you down after you started to show interest. And yeah, like, I mean, I guess it's not that different. That's kind of high school for a lot of guys. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, you think it's a much bigger deal than it is, but like I said earlier, dating really changed. I got into college and, we're all just smarter and wiser. And, you know, like I have, you know, I have nice eyes. I have a good looking face, and my wife's in the back room. She says his eyes crinkle when he smiles. I dressed well, you know, like I like to dress well. I always picked out my outfits. That's the other thing. It's like, I never let my parents determine what I was going to wear. I pick out my outfits and all my clothes, and it was important to me to look good. And, I don't know, you learned that, even ugly guys can be, attractive to ladies when they're funny. So I started telling jokes, a lot of jokes. I dated a lot in college. I had several girlfriends, and even fell in love one time before Megan. Her name was also Megan. I have a type. it's a, just as long as your name is Megan. No. Yeah. And, so a lot of things changed in college. I knew what I was doing. Like I said, my brother Chase, like, we were always very competitive. But in a way where we were always looking out for each other, and he taught me how to dress. He taught me how to talk, and, he really helped me, through high school become the guy I ultimately wanted to be in college. And it, when it came to the dating scene, and, then getting married, dated Megan for 2 years, and she is just a stunner, just really, really pretty. Very, very lucky. I'm a lucky guy. And she's also a gamer. She's just my best bud. And we just enjoyed hanging out with each other.
That's so fantastic.
Yeah. Dating became really not that hard. I just got older, you know, like, the awkwardness goes away. Eventually it was like, okay, we're not in kindergarten. Like, if you like a girl, tell her, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it just became a lot easier, a lot of fun. I really enjoyed dating. A lot of people talk about the dating part, like they don't enjoy it and they wish they could have just skipped that. And I'm like, oh man, I love dating. I loved playing the field. I loved finding activities to do and, you know, flying kites and fishing. And I'd take girls to shoot guns. And I took one girl to the hospital to get cinnamon rolls in the Logan Regional Hospital. Have you had their cinnamon rolls?
I have not.
They don't sell them anymore because they got a new manager from California, so they can't have anything fun. I'm sorry for all the California listeners. I don't mean it. No. They used to have these amazing cinnamon rolls. So I took a one girl there to get cinnamon rolls, and we ate cinnamon rolls. We're talking. Then I pulled two volunteer vests out and surprised her with those, and we went into pediatrics, and I did my Donald Duck impression for all the kids. that was a really fun date. I should have done that one with you. Yeah, my date sucked with my wife. I was bored.
That sounds like a fun date, though.
Yeah, it was. We had a good time.
And I totally forgot about your Donald Duck impression.
Dude, I remember one time we were in the Jeep, and we were hitting this really rocky trail, being tossed back and forth. And I was swearing in my Donald Duck voice, and you were crying. You were like, yeah, that was so funny.
And didn't you have it on your voicemail for years?
Yeah, I was like, hello, you reached my cell phone. Read your message.
That is super good, man.
Thanks, dude.
Oh, that's awesome. Good times we had, right?
We did. We had some great times.
I wanted to touch on a point real quick that you made back when you were talking about the dating scene, just because, you know, part of this whole thing is just to raise awareness and to kind of send a message, right?
Okay.
And all too often, I think people are too quick to judge a book by its cover, or they think it's only skin, you know, they think a person is only skin deep. They don't look any further, you know? And so I guess I'm a little bit frustrated by that norm that our society has. And so I liked what you said. Like, if someone's brave enough and has enough courage to ask, like, give them a chance, you know?
Yeah. Well, and if they're not a creep, but we also have to understand the other side, Q. I mean, like, a lot of that's biological, you know, but we're a hunter gatherer species. I mean, we're in many ways programmed to look for certain traits. And, I think especially for us guys, like ladies are looking for someone who can be sort of dangerous and a bit of a protector. And when you look like I did in high school and in college, like that first impression, you know, it can be a little hard to overlook. It's like, can this guy keep me safe? Like if we get jumped, like, is he going to be able to give me a chance to get away? And that's such a fair question, you know? And I really, really don't hold it against, ladies who have, you know, a little bit of, you know, leeriness towards, dating someone with a disability. But I do understand that it's like it's frustrating for the person with a disability for sure. And that's why, I do recommend, like, always giving that first date like a shot, you know, and not as a pressure thing. Like I said, if the person's a creep, like, don't do it. But, you know, you never know what you can find in someone. Megan's with me, not because she has accepted that she'll have to be the one to fight off the burglar. But she fully trusts me with her protection. And even though I don't look like, I would be the kind of man who can protect a woman, you know, I adapted and I learned and I overcame. And, so I think a good deal of understanding needs to go on both sides here. 'Cause I've met a lot of disabled people who just feel like they're treated so unfairly even after that first date, you know? And I know my suggestion to them is find your niche, you know? Find what is missing and fill that with a way that only you can, which isn't really that great of advice, because like that means nothing. I don't know, but you always have something to offer, you know. And they'll notice if you present that, like, someone will notice, and you just need to look a little harder. But yeah, I do agree that to some extent, people should also be more open. It's like we as people with disabilities need to try harder, and others should be a bit more open. And let's meet in the middle, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well said.
Thanks.
And the other thing I wanted to say too, kind of what you were alluding to here, is like, find your currency. And for you, it was humor. You know, yeah. you had jokes, and you made people laugh, and they liked that. That's what was attractive for them. Attraction to you, I mean. Like, they loved the sense of humor, and the, it was just, you know, you knew you were going to have a good time when you were with Jordan.
Oh, I liked to keep it fun and light. And I don't know, it's like no one really wants to be around someone who has the, like, that expression on all the time that their life is just really, really hard, you know? And maybe your life is really, really hard, you know, and I get that, but people like resilience, not victims. I don't want to be a victim, you know, and like there are plenty of people who have it far worse off than I do. So I'm really not talking about anyone else but me here, but I can't be that way where, you know, I just like concentrate on how hard my life is. 'Cause I mean, everyone's life is hard, man. Like, life in general is hard, and mine is hard in some ways, but easier than in others. And can I give you an example on that? Actually,
yeah.
Yeah. So, when I was younger, I went to see a movie by myself. I don't even remember what it was, but I was just starting to get good at riding the bus. And I was like, I just feel like a movie. So I went to see a movie by myself, and the line was just huge. It was a Friday night, and we live in a college town. And so the line was just massive. And, you know, buses do what buses do, and they get you where you're going late every time. I didn't want to miss my movie.
Oh yeah.
So I walked right to the front of the line, and the gentleman behind me had a date with him, and he's like, excuse me, we were in line. And I just like turn around and I go, and he steps back and like sort of looks down, and like, and his date's like, it's fine, it's fine. And then I turn back around to the ticket booth lady, and I'm like, one ticket, please. Just loud enough they hear. I grab my ticket and I just walk in. Wow. Oh, I'm such an ass.
You played that card.
I did. I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I mostly did it for the lulz, but,
No, that's a great example.
Yeah. It's like, you can get away with things when you have a disability that other people just can't get away with. And, I mean, his date just started laughing, you know? No, that was the other thing, is like I made it to where they were in on the joke, you know, and so they seemed, at least she was cool with it. But when you have a disability and stuff, like, you in some ways, like, people let, it'll be, they'll let you get away with things that they shouldn't as well. Laziness was a big struggle for me. Like, I don't know, like, you being blind, did you ever have that? Like, just things you didn't want to, to do because you knew people wouldn't make you do them?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. So laziness, like, it was a big struggle. It's like, I mean, and being, you know, with my disability, being dressed and toileted, you know, it's like my mom, she would do things. She was doing things that you would do for a toddler, like clear until I was 21 and married. And I mean, you kind of innately get a different sort of mentality of things when you have people doing things like that for you all your life. And growing up, it was just harder. I mean, I grew up a lot later. I mean, when you met me, I think I was 21. Yeah, I was 21. I was 21 when you met me. Your 30s hit you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you can't be like that anymore. You almost kind of enjoy, the sweat, you know, the hard work. As I get older, I've started to just enjoy it a lot more. But yeah, like, I got married, and I mean, there were responsibilities that, I just didn't even know about, you know. I guess that kind of segues us into being married, huh?
Yeah, so I wanted to ask, because I remember having you and Megan over for dinner one night, because you had asked a question like, hey, you and your wife are both blind. Was there any fear, or like, what did your parents think? And we had this great conversation. Oh, yeah. I'd love to kind of explore that, because like you said, you need some help here and there. You need help getting dressed, and you need help toileting. And I remember even on our trips, you know, I'd feed you a sandwich here and there, try and help out when your sister wasn't around and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Which, thanks for that.
Hey, you bet, man.
That was one of the best times. I loved that.
Our trip to Yellowstone was epic.
It was super epic. Oh, man.
Yeah, we could talk about that for days, but I want to get into the marriage thing.
Yeah, definitely. So let's talk about marriage. Megan doesn't have a disability, and in that sense, I mean, she actually, like I said, everyone has their hardships. She actually has some severe clinical social anxiety.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very, very bad. And she takes medication for it, and it helps her a lot. And it's interesting because through me, she came to learn that taking medication is no different than me reaching for crutches, you know. It's just what she has to do to get through the day to day. And so it's like, being in a relationship with me has helped her reduce the stigma on her own invisible challenge, which is really awesome. And you'll find, I mean, marriage just does that to people. And you know, like, even when like your standard to stereotypical disability isn't a factor, it's like, it's such a complimentary thing. So, I mean, that's really awesome. But, yeah, I mean, there were hardships, and kind of, as I was going into, one of them was like, I just had no idea how to be an adult at all. I was in many ways still a man child until like my mid 20s, you know, 25, 26 was when I finally was like learning how to do all these things that I should have known how to do when I first got married. And I got married young, you know, like, so that's probably a part of it as well. But I mean, I had never paid a bill, you know, I had never budgeted. Like I'd never done anything like that, you know, just the normal day-to-day standard survival stuff. And it got really frustrating on my wife, who fortunately for me also gave me tough love, but in a different way, in a husband way. And, you know, 'cause my parents gave me tough love in a parent way. But they, you know, they still handled all my money and all my bills and, you know, all the kind of things that you need to handle as an adult. But she gave me tough love in the husband way, where it's like, no, you need to learn how to pay a bill. You need to learn how to manage, funds. And, you need to learn how to hold down a full-time job. That was pretty hard, learning how to be an adult, but came slower than a lot of other, than it does for a lot of other people. But, ultimately, we got there and she stuck through it with me. Like that's the awesome thing. Like, do you know how, unattractive man children are to ladies?
Yeah.
Like, I can't believe she did it. But yeah, no, she stuck through it with me. She saw something there and she was patient enough and kind enough to just pull that thread and unravel, and until I grew up, out of necessity.
Well, I think the neat thing is, like you said, you know, you guys were a team and you brought different things to the table and
right.
You guys helped each other get through that. And of course it has to have made you stronger, wouldn't you say?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, definitely. I don't know. There's our life experience, would not be the same without us kind of going through the things that we have gone through. You know, when you marry someone with a disability, I mean, your marriage survival rate is somewhere like 9%, statistically.
Wow.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be married to someone with a disability. I don't know. Like, and we've experienced those hardships and we've seen divorce as a possibility, you know? She and I, for one, are extremely stubborn, and divorce just is not something that, we both want on our permanent records. I'd say the big thing is, we have a solid friendship, you know, and it just gets us through all the tough parts. She works hard, and as a person with a disability, like the support you can offer might look strange, you know, and it might be so simple, but like sometimes all I need to do to make her feel supported is just stand in the kitchen and talk to her while she does all the dishes I just ate on. And like there's always that creeping thought of like, I mean, you're not actually helping. Like you can go sit down or watch TV, you know, stuff like that, 'cause you're not really helping, but that's false. Like, people with disabilities in the audience, please, like, know that is false. Even just your presence, like you being there while she's busting her ass for you, it's so important. So don't take it for granted. Be a conversationalist, like be there and be supportive, and it helps more than you think it does.
100%. So for how did sure. You guys find a balance between her being your wife versus your caretaker?
Whew. That's a question, isn't it?
Yeah. Yep.
There are still sometimes struggles with that. I have my friend, his name is Seth. He's pretty much my brother from another mother. 'Cause I didn't have enough already.
Right.
he comes over and I have him help me with my physical needs as often as I can is one thing. The other is out of necessity. Megan's just had to be good at compartmentalizing, you know, like wiping your ass is not the same as, you know, other kinds of undressing. It's like, these are separate times and these are separate moments. I have shifted my roles. And right now I am caretaker and right now I am wife, and I will not let them bleed into the other. I'd say that, I mean, and that's a hard question, and it maybe would be a better question for her, but I'd say if there's a part on my side, it's just, keep the romance alive. Flowers, praise, we dance, you know, we dance in the kitchen, just a lot. And those are all things that I initiate. And I, at least my hope is that they help, because like I am like husband at those times. I am romantic at those times. And I think they help her separate, the two roles, but yeah, might be a better question for her. Maybe.
Yeah. Understandably. So
we have a lot of sex. That's it.
It's good. Sex.
Yeah. No. No, she's great. A lot of it's really just her. Like, I think she's a superhero. I don't know. I don't know if I'd be able to do it. So, she loves me for some reason. Like, she had got that head injury, and
I don't think you give yourself enough credit, man.
I'm mostly just messing around. No, she, and she'd definitely say that. I mean, she tells me all the time she can't do this without me. So yeah, like, I know that I'm an extremely important part of what makes the two of us work. But yeah, she's just awesome. That's all.
Well, I think what makes a couple work obviously is multiple things, but good communication being one of the most important.
Knowing how to fight.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, oh man, we know how to fight.
And the other piece too, I mean, at least for me, is like being able to figure out your role. And I think you said it best where, you know, you're just there for her. You just give her that companionship and the support and the emotional piece, you know.
Yeah,
I mean?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, and it also really helps that I make most of the money. You know, I have a good job. And I support us monetarily very well. It helps that sort of fulfill that role of being caretaker, protector, caretaker, that kind of caretaker. She's the caretaker the other way. But
right.
I mean, I'm our family's protector. And yeah, I'll just, you know, I'll get into it. Like, I shoot a lot of guns. I'm very good at it, somehow. So yeah, like, finding your role is a very, very important thing. And I make her laugh. I support her with, like, emotionally and with romance. And, she feels safe when she's with me. Like, maybe your roles are other things, you know, but like, yeah, find and define your roles within a marriage and make sure you're doing them for sure.
Now I have to ask, are there any adaptations necessary for you to handle a gun, or can you just, I mean, you're pretty innovative as we've learned already, but like, tell us about shooting. How do you load? How do you handle that?
Yeah. So, man, I've been shooting since I was 4 years old. My dad's a big gun enthusiast. I mean, you know, the kind of guy he is. He's like, well, it's time for me and the kids to go shooting. You know, me and the boys, some of the girls, if they wanted to come, you know, we didn't keep the girls from coming, but yeah, like you'd be like, taking the boys shooting. And, I was one of the boys. It was just never questioned. So I turned 4. My dad taught me the rules and it's like, I think you'd probably have the easiest time with handguns. I don't have any right now, so I'm going to hold the front of this rifle while you shoot it. And we started that way, and then we got handguns. And he just gave me a handgun, a 22 handgun, and he was just like, learn how to use it. And, you know, he taught me, of course, first he taught me how to be safe, and then he was like, learn how to use it your way. And he'd stood very close. He was very watchful, very protective. And so I use a normal handgun. I don't use any sort of adaptive handguns, although I do prefer Walther because they have very comfortable ergonomic grips. This podcast is not sponsored by Walther, but it could be.
That would
you hear
be
us, Walther?
That's right. I need some sponsors.
Yes, you help cripples shoot, Walther. Let's get a sponsorship going. No, yeah, I use Walther a lot. They're very ergonomic grips. They're thin on top, so my hand fits around them, but they're thick on bottom, so it doesn't slip out with any kick. And yeah, I learned how to shoot a Walther P22, and I would support my arms up on my crutches, and I'd lean back, and I was shooting the legs off of grasshoppers by the time I was in my late teens.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's which rad. Some people might say that's cruel. I don't know. get PETA up in this bitch.
Yeah.
No, I was I'd love to shoot. I would just shoot a lot. I would enter church rifle competitions with my handgun.
Really?
Yeah. And, win. It's really fun. I then, when I got a little bigger, a little bit stronger, I upgraded from a Walther P22 to a Walther PK380. I still struggle with 9mm and above, just a little too much zip for what my hands can handle, but I do a 380 very well. I just love shooting. It's fun.
And don't Walthers have like a little bit easier spring to manipulate in the slide than some of the other manufacturers?
It's interesting you know that, because quite a lot of them do. There's actually the first gun I was interested in, it's called the Walther CCP, and it's a 9mm, but it's got like the gas impingement system of an AR platform.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know how big into guns you are, so you got to let me know if I'm speaking a second language.
No, I love it, and I've done a lot of research, and I think
cool.
Yeah, this is a great conversation, because we've got a blind guy and a cripple. I didn't want to go there, but I was like, he's going to help me out. I know it,
dude. Yeah, it's you know, we're in a rival gangs, the blinds and the crips.
I remember that joke.
Yeah. The impingement system makes it to where the spring has a lot less tension. You can rack it a lot easier. And it's supposed to have less kick, but I did not find that to be the case. So, that's why I ended up going with the PK380, because, the spring tension on that is still a lot less. I don't think it's gas impinged. No, it's not. That'd be crazy, but it's only 380, so it just doesn't need as much, you know, forward press. So yeah, that one has just been really, really good. And they're tiny, so you can, it's a, like a good waistband carry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you shoot?
I do. I haven't been for a little while, but I own a couple of handguns myself.
Dude. And
yeah, it's a lot of fun. We should go
shooting. Now, do you mind if I ask a question to you?
Go for it.
Like, do you just like set beepers on targets, or like how does this work? You shooting?
It's a good question. Yeah.
Really interested in that. And that sounds amazing.
So I've tried a bunch of different things. I've put lasers on both red and green so that my spotter could, you know, see easily where I was pointing.
Mm.
And so I've done indoor ranges. I've done in the mountains, done in the desert. I've shot quite a few different types of guns. And sometimes I just pray and spray, you know, just for the fun of it.
Sure.
You know, but I do like to have a challenge of trying to hit like a 2-liter, you know, and I've hit plenty of them.
Nice. Oh, that is awesome.
So,
and a little scary.
It is. Yeah.
But that's so cool.
My environmental awareness is really good. And yes. So I hear people, I hear things, I pay attention to a lot of detail.
That's awesome. Because like the big rule is like, be sure of your target and beyond, which was like my next question is like, is it all like based on hearing and such?
Yeah. You know what I found to be really helpful is electronic hearing protection.
Really?
Because you can still talk and hear everybody, but then when it goes above 80 decibels, it blocks it out.
Dude, that's so cool.
So
I wouldn't have even thought of electronic hearing protection as being a boon to shooters with blindness, you know, but
yeah,
that would make sense for sure.
Yeah, man.
That's so cool. Yeah. Cause we should go shooting. Cause I'm just, like I'm fascinated. Do you have CCP?
No.
Okay. Would they even let you? Do you know?
Oh, concealed carry permit?
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were talking about a model of the Walther gun.
CCP. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's right.
Yeah, you betcha I do.
Good for you, man.
Yep.
That's so cool.
So
I do as well. And you just don't meet a lot of people with disabilities who carry, but like I always gotta recommend it. Because it's the equalizer.
I get a lot of differing opinions on this.
Uh-huh.
And I would say it's about 50, there's a 50-50 split of those who are like all in favor and, you know, yeah, absolutely. Protect yourself. Your life is just as important as anybody else's.
Uh-huh.
And then the other half are just terrified or just, they can't even fathom.
A blind person with a gun?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's like, when considering statistically that the typical engagement distance is, what, like 7 feet away?
Yeah, like somewhere between 7 and 20.
Yeah. It's just, I don't understand why not. And like you said, your situational awareness is really good. And, I mean, to be honest, sighted people get what's called buck fever a lot, and they forget their surroundings and they get like bad tunnel vision. So I don't know, like if you keep training, and you're proficient, I have no idea why it shouldn't work, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's, I mean, something that I think would be interesting. Oh, this would be, and we're getting off topic here. I'm sorry, but I think it'd be interesting. I'd love to go shooting with you. I have an airsoft gun and it'd be really cool to have you target shoot, with the airsoft gun while, there were people just sort of walking around, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just put the rumor to bed, wouldn't you think?
Yeah. And I actually have a couple friends that are big into shooting, and they have way more sophisticated systems than I have.
Mm-hmm.
They have scopes with cameras built in that send that to a tablet. So their spotter can sit behind them and say left 10 degrees or left 2 degrees or whatever, whatever
no
they decide.
No way.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
So there's a lot of cool tech. You know, if you are interested in a hobby and you don't think that there's a way that you can do it, I would think again. Like, there's so many
definitely.
Things. Yeah.
I did airsofting was my sport. Like, that's what I did. I never did it like officially, like as an official sport, like on a team or anything. But man, like we would just get together. Like, all of my friends, we'd get together like every other weekend and pelt each other with plastic BBs. We had some great spots, this old dump. And yeah, like I was good at it. I had people wanting me on their team.
Now, were you like the sniper guy?
Yeah. So oftentimes we'd get me in a good position.
Yeah.
And, I would lay down suppressive fire to get my buddies around. And, when I had a good shot, I would just, pew, you know?
Yeah.
Really cool. Really fun. Miss those days.
Yeah.
I haven't airsofted in a few years now. I love that.
It's awesome. Well, listen, man, I want to wrap it up, but I want to give you an opportunity to share any other insights or anything else that you might think would be interesting for the listeners.
Yeah. So, I was thinking about this, and ultimately I think I touched on it a little earlier when we were talking about dating, but, I think the biggest advice I could give is, oh, and you just barely touched on it too. It's like, if you have a hobby, go for it. But is don't find a way to victimize yourself. You have so much more potential than you even know. And like, if you want to do something, like, go for it. And, you know, if you want to date, if you want to shoot, if you want to play a sport or play video games, like just go for it, man. And sometimes it's not even about being good at it when you start. But it's fun to just learn how to do it and enjoy being bad at it while you're bad at it. And yeah. Just do your thing. Don't be a victim, because people don't like victims. I don't like victims. I guess that's it.
Well, this has been rad. I mean, you know, despite the hand you've been dealt and everything, I think that you've just done a phenomenal job, and it's awesome to catch up and hear that, you know, you've got a family and you've got a job and you're successful and you're loving life, man.
Thanks, man. Well, and to be honest, it's more hooks that I've been dealt than hands, but yeah.
I see what you did there.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate it. I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk. And if you want me back on, go into more detail about certain things, I'd be happy to.
Yeah, I think I am going to bring a lot of my guests back on, because we just touch on a lot of different things. And so, yeah, that would be fantastic to dig in a little bit more on some of these things.
Yeah, man, there's never enough time in these things.
Yeah.
So
cool. Well, thanks a lot, Jordan. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet. It's good to see you.
Yep.
You've been listening to the Fire Podcast, where we share inspirational stories and interviews. If you've enjoyed this content, we invite you to share it with those who you think might benefit. Thank you, and stay tuned for more incredible content.